This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With your look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. A new study from the University of Illinois and Texas Tech University shows that U.S. agricultural trade balance has flipped, with imports now outpacing exports. Researchers say the decline began after the 2017-2018 trade dispute with China, which caused U.S. export values to drop by $14 billion. Soybean exports fell 73%, while wheat, corn, and sorghum also saw steep declines. The U.S. continues to lose market share to competitors such as Brazil, Canada, Australia, and Ukraine, though new trade agreements could help offset some of those losses. High premiums on Brazilian soybeans are discouraging Chinese buyers, leaving the country short on supplies for December and January. Reports indicate China may need to tap into its state reserves to meet near-term demand. China recently met its import needs through November with large purchases from Argentina, but still requires up to 9 million metric tons for the coming months. Ongoing trade tensions with the United States continue to keep American soybeans out of the Chinese market. Cattle prices have been supported by true market fundamentals. The U.S. cow herd is at its lowest level in more than 70 years. Beef demand is also at a 40-year high. The U.S. cattle industry does not want the government to intervene.
Absolutely. We've been steadfast against any artificial market-altering type of policies and really believe that consumers, not the government, should be those that set the market.
That's North Dakota Stockmen's Association Executive Vice President Julie Ellingson. U.S. Cattlemen's Association President Justin Topper stressed the importance of market-driven prices, not mandates or panic interventions. RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard is encouraging the government to address fundamental problems in the beef market, not its symptoms. Bullard says attempting to lower domestic beef prices simply by inviting even more imports will both exacerbate and accelerate the ongoing dismantling of the domestic beef supply. The Red River Farm Network reached out to the National Cattlemen's Association, who said they didn't have much information on what Trump meant by his comments, and they would make a statement once more details were known. And those Thursday comments made by the president saying that he had a deal on beef that would bring prices down sent the cattle futures south late last week.
Once again, President Trump making comments impacting the markets here.
Earlier in the week, cattle futures traded at all-time highs. StoneX chief commodities economist Arlen Suderman says that changed after Trump made those comments.
To traders who hold, speculative traders who hold large, very large long positions in this market, at least that's believed to be the case. We don't know for sure since the government shut down and we don't get the weekly CFTC reports. But they got nervous when they saw that comment. They started selling off, taking feeder cattle down the $9.25 limit, and live cattle have been down more than $6 at times.
And the cattle futures woes continuing to close out this week as well, with feeder cattle trading limit down here on Friday.
A lot of red on the screen, down limit on the feeders, fats, some of the back months obviously down limit. It's kind of a technical situation there, risk reduction. The market has been on a rally for some time. It's been a very mature rally, so we are seeing a pretty major pullback, you know, here on this Friday. There was supposed to be a cattle on feed report this afternoon. Obviously, government is shut down. We won't get that report, but it seems like there's just a lot of technical liquidation at this point in the cattle market, and everybody's trying to get out the same door.
That's Bauer Trading market analyst Ben Cash. U.S. ethanol production increased last week, averaging 1.11 million barrels per day, according to the Energy Information Administration. That's up 38,000 barrels from the previous week and nearly 3% higher than the same week last year. Midwest ethanol output averaged just over 1.05 million barrels per day, also up slightly from last week. Meanwhile, U.S. ethanol blending activity declined slightly to 911,000 barrels per day, down 1% from a year ago. Going to look at the markets this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
With a look at the news this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman. According to Politico, the White House plans to buy four times its typical quota of Argentine beef that is still in the discussion phase, but the administration is reportedly looking at 80,000 metric ton beef sale to the South American country. The current beef import quota in Argentina is 20,000 tons. President Trump was on social media Wednesday saying his tariffs are the reason cattle prices are as strong as it is. There's been widespread criticism of that statement by the U.S. cattle industry. National Cattlemen's Beef Association responding to Trump's plan to import Argentine beef to lower consumer beef prices. NCBA CEO Colin Woodall says his organization is concerned.
But probably more importantly, we are just flat disappointed that this is the approach that the president has taken. We understand what he is trying to do, but what he does not realize is that in trying to bring the price of beef down for the consumer, it means he's going to bring down the price being paid for cattle for U.S. producers. So in effect, this is a direct attack on U.S. cattle producers.
American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President of Public Policy John Newton says the broader farm economy is already struggling and a hit to cattle prices would make things much worse.
If you take out the ad hoc federal support that Congress has provided, net farm income is actually down and crop farm cash receipts are down $71 billion from 3 years ago. So it's the cattle side of the balance sheet that is supporting the farm economy, trying to lower beef prices when that is the part of the farm economy that is supporting rural America creates a lot of uncertainty, especially as American farmers are beginning to think about rebuilding the herd. The notion that we need to lower beef prices would be a 1-2 punch that the farm economy just cannot handle.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins weighing in on the controversy over beef prices during an appearance on CNBC. President Trump said U.S. would import Argentine beef to lower consumer beef prices, and Rollins did not address that possibility, but spoke about the loss of 150,000 ranchers in recent years, Rollins citing the consolidation seen in beef processing.
We have, you know, offshored a lot of that to some companies in Brazil and some other internationally. China owns some other companies. There's a real, really important realignment that has to happen for us to begin to onshore. We talk about onshoring and reshoring for manufacturing. We need to onshore and reshore for our beef producers, for our ranchers.
One notes some packers are foreign-owned, but China does not own any beef plants in the United States. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says the current farm economy is pushing many producers to the brink, and he's calling for federal action to stabilize trade and strengthen domestic markets.
We're seeing, you know, loan defaults and bankruptcies up. We're seeing calls to, you know, some of our helplines are way up, and I'm asking people, you know, take care of one another. And I mean, the irony of this is that we're probably going to have record crops. We've, you know, been able to do that. We've had some pretty good weather for it. But you got to have a place to sell them, and the price has to be there.
North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney calling on the state's congressional delegation to take stronger action on behalf of agriculture.
We're starting to pit the consumer against the farmer. We're going to bring in product potentially from Argentina that's lower quality, which is not really going to solve the pricing problem that consumers see, and it's going to make the consumers less likely to want to buy beef in the future because it's not as good of beef as we produce in the country. We have just seen a study out now that shows that there's likely that soybeans to China will not happen until 2027. They have the ability to make it through 2026 without buying U.S. beans. And we're going to become basically a residual supplier of the world.
Watney says the ongoing government shutdown is compounding the problem and delaying much needed progress on health care and farm policy. With a look at the news this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
With a look at the weather this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The week began with widespread rain across the Dakotas and northwest Minnesota. Showers also seen in extreme northeast South Dakota and west central Minnesota. The bigger story of the early week weather, though, was the wind. A low pressure system moved northeast and from central South Dakota into northern Minnesota that kicked in the wind machine. The National Weather Service said that gusts between 35 and 60 miles per hour were seen throughout the region. Paplo Harvesting is finishing up soybeans in South Dakota, and they have the combines rolling in multiple states for corn harvest. Owner Paul Paplo says weather has been a factor for both harvest and yields.
Okay, right now I'm back by Worthington, Minnesota. We got machines in Hartley, Iowa, Berkeley, South Dakota, and up by Aberdeen, South Dakota. All the machines are working on corn right now. We still do have a few soybeans left to finish up in South Dakota, but the ground is pretty wet, and they're waiting for that to dry out. The corn's been kind of up and down. Stuff that had fungicide on it has been good. Stuff without fungicide's been pretty disappointing, and that's just strictly because of disease pressure.
Soybean yields were variable from all the weather, and Paplo says the corn yields were
Anywhere from about 180 up to 250, 260. The soybean crop back here around Worthington was good. Hartley, Iowa stuff was probably a little disappointing. Down South Dakota, there's just a lot of water and a lot of drowned out spots. So the beans over there were good, but overall yields were down because of all the drowned outs.
And sunflower harvest continues to progress throughout the Northern Plains. National Sunflower Growers Association Executive Director John Sambachen says weather has disrupted harvest in some areas, but overall things are progressing nicely.
you know, for the most part, harvest is moving along, you know, based on the reports that we're getting about normal. We've had some rain delays here and there, you know, with situations like that. But yields right now are trending above normal, I would say, you know, from what I've been hearing. Overall, the crop looks really nice. In fact, you know, for most of the year, we were rated in that good to excellent category. And but without, you know, actual USDA reports, I really can't tell you exactly where progress is. But as far as I know, things are moving along well.
Sugar beet harvest is nearing the finish line across much of the Red River Valley, though it's been a tougher push for growers in the north. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Executive Director Harrison Weber says progress has been steady despite all the mud.
We sit here today, I think we're at about 85% down American Crystal. A lot of guys, Crooks and South, are either done or will be wrapping up real shortly. Certainly a battle for the boys up north, and all I can say is keep pushing and keep scraping mud and keep pulling trucks, and we'll get it. We'll get it.
While harvest conditions have been challenging, Weber says yields look good and factories are running at full capacity.
I think tonnage, we're going to be right at our maximum for factory capacity, which is good. Right now we're scheduled to leave a couple percent for beets, which is certainly frustrating as a farmer, but as co-op owners, we recognize the importance of maximizing our factory assets there. And so good on tonnage. I'd say sugar is just a hair lower than we'd like to see, but certainly as the crop is still out there, it is putting on sugar, especially up north. And so, you know, we'll see where the dust settles or where the mud lands when we finally get this crop in the pile.
And temperatures did dip a bit this week, touching closer to fall weather, even winter weather, getting as low as the low 30s in some mornings. Warmer air mass did move in later on in the week, partly to mostly sunny skies, pushing highs into the upper 50s and low 60s. The weekend expected to stay mild and windy, highs ranging from the upper 50s to mid 60s with gusty south by southeast winds up to 30 miles per hour Saturday and over 35 miles per hour on Sunday. Rain arriving early Monday, lasting into Tuesday, and temperatures expected to hover in the 40s to near 50s through midweek. It's been a look at the weather this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.